This is URN Sport.
Comes his run, the backfield for Sergio Roberto. One-time cross for Luis Suarez! Oh. Luis Suarez with the opener!
Bonaventura again, Bacca with a run ahead of him, Suso to his right. Here is Suso, who sends San Siro wild!
Boys all around him, has to try and block it out. Up against Anthony Lopez, he scores confidently.
Lewandowski goes through it again. Oh, he just can't do it. You just cannot be that good. That is an amazing goal.
Hello and welcome to the European Football Podcast with me, Nathan, Jeremy and Arvi this week. And we'll be taking you through all the ins and outs of La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A and Ligue 1. Also covering some of the Champions League games will be happening this week and taking a look at some managerial changes perhaps as well. There's been a lot to talk about. So, shall we start with Liga? No. Why don't we start instead with La Liga?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Well, we had some comfortable games for most of the top teams in La Liga. Atletico winning 3-0 over Valencia. Real Madrid getting back in the bit with winning form. They've struggled a bit of late, obviously. And Barca, of course, dominating Celta Vigo. With Real Madrid, there's been a bit of a slip-up of late, and they're now, with the game in hand, they're a point behind Barcelona when they had the opportunity to be about 7 points ahead. What does this mean for the title race?
I honestly am surprised. Like, being a Barcelona fan, yeah, I'm really happy that Real Madrid slipped up. But then again, think about it. Yes, Real Madrid had a really good opportunity. Like, you don't get a 7-point lead in La Liga if you think, like, last season, before that, Atletico Madrid, like, the top three is really close. But then having that lead and then losing it is actually a bit, it puts a lot of pressure on players of Real Madrid and even the coach, Zidane.
Yeah, I mean, Arvi's got a good point in the sense that for Madrid, they'll be looking back at this now with a load of missed opportunities for them. They could have easily extended their league, and they could have been, well, it could be nearly out of sight as much in La Liga as it is in some of the other leagues around Europe at this point. But I think looking at their win at the weekend, away from home, four goals scored, only one conceded against, yeah, granted, Eibar, which isn't the toughest opponent, but the key thing which I think a lot of people have been jumping on the fact is they did it without either Ronaldo or Bale, both of whom, Bale of course is suspended and Ronaldo was rested for it, and it was good to see in a way from Madrid that at last their depth is starting to come into effect with James Rodriguez getting on the score sheet and Asensio, who is a brilliant young Spaniard. And that I think is probably the confidence that Madrid will be looking at the moment.
I think it's quite important again, like, because I think the Real Madrid team have been quite complacent and then just giving all the balls into Ronaldo, Bale, and then just depending on them for every single goal, like, in the past. So I think that was actually a good move by Zidane to actually rest Ronaldo, and as Bale was suspended. But yeah, again, I think that was a good move, so that because it gave opportunity to everyone on the team, like James Rodriguez, to perform. Well, he was always overshadowed by Ronaldo, Bale.
No, sure. I mean, you talk about resting Ronaldo. He might have had a slight injury as well. Mm. Is this also partly a case for Zidane to kind of start thinking about life after Ronaldo? He's still performing very well, but he's getting, what, he's what, 31?
Yeah, 31
now, yeah.
So it's kind of time to start thinking. Mm. Obviously, Bale's the obvious choice as the natural successor, but we were talking earlier maybe about Dybala going to Madrid, other things. How would Real Madrid kind of maybe rebuild their identity perhaps without Ronaldo? Will Benzema kind of come back in a bit?
I'm not sure. Like, it is quite a debatable topic. Like, we have been thinking, like, oh yeah, Benzema is one player who has been linked so much that we never even consider him as a Real Madrid striker. Like, first, if I talk to someone about, oh yeah, Real Madrid forwards, like, the first thought which comes to their mind is Ronaldo, Bale, and not Benzema. So I'm quite skeptical about the fact that will Benzema come to the picture, or probably I think they should get a new person like Dybala or someone at the front who can play a good game.
I think because, just quickly on that, I think that Benzema, unfortunately, has gone down the same route as Gonzalo Higuain. He's a very good striker for them, and he has got a fantastic goals-to-game ratio. The game at the weekend that he played, he was the only member of BBC in that team, and that was his 350th start for Real Madrid. And it's a bit unfortunate. I mean, Gonzalo Higuain, of course, left, went to Napoli, and now is killing it at Juventus, as he's done throughout his time in Serie A. Whilst Benzema has just plodded along steadily, getting goals and playing well for Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid, it's two options, really. They can go the classic route, which they always do, which is throw the money out there and buy in a big-name player. Or they can do kind of what Barca always do, which is turn to the youth academy and try and pull someone up from there. And they haven't really got, though, a striker who is good.
I honestly think they need to bring someone like Jesse Rodriguez back to the club. Like,
as well, Jesse's
they have Alvaro Morata in the front, so, but he was clicking really well at Juventus, but I'm not really sure because I think he's either overshadowed by the forwards or it's just that I honestly think that he should just probably wait for like Ronaldo, Bale to leave, but then again he is being overshadowed clearly by the club's the BBC, the so-called BBC.
Yeah, I mean, Benzema does get overshadowed as well, I think. And, you know, is the question for Real Madrid, rather than having this star number nine striker, just having a kind of big guy up top who can link up play well, like a Mandzukic or a Giroud?
Yeah, I mean, that would be something which I think they, obviously Benzema does try and do that, and he is very good at it, and Mandzukic, of course, has shown it throughout his career as well. I don't think he'd be going, but I think the question if they... Real Madrid is the team, obviously, that's the Galacticos. They want to have that star player. Dybala, in my opinion, is at the moment the obvious shout, but I would personally say better at Barcelona because of their connections to South American players and how they help them settle and adjust a lot. I think when ever a player joins Madrid, it's always a real test, and we saw with Kaká how even with the big names, unfortunately he was overshadowed, but unfortunately with them, they don't always seem to hit the ground running when they're at Madrid, because obviously it's a huge, they demand so much from players. Bale saw it in his second season at Madrid, the amount of pressure he came under. He is the obvious heir to Ronaldo at the moment, really, I'm saying. I mean, Rodriguez has got a good strike record for Real Madrid, but he just hasn't really been getting the game times, and you can tell he wants to move on.
Yeah, no, it does seem James kind of looks like he could leave. There's been a lot of talk about Inter with their new kind of owners wanting to...
That's been Manchester United as well.
Of course, United. Any big move involves them.
Anything, any move, and then there's a name, Manchester United, behind it.
Yeah. What about Barca? Very comfortable win.
I have loads to talk about. They've not actually been Celta Vigo. Celta Vigo is one of the
bogey team, haven't they?
Yeah, Celta Vigo and Espanyol are one of those teams who, or even Bilbao for that matter, that Barca tend to either scrape through or lose like 3-1 or 3-0. But then this win, I think, is great for Barca in terms of their upcoming match against PSG, even though they realistically look out of the Champions League. So I think Barca, if they carry on the performance well, and to be honest, like, well, one of the few sides which come to my mind, like, who can overturn this 4-0 loss against PSG is only Barcelona. Having that star-studded attack in the front, and then even their depth of squad. So I think, let's see what happens.
Yeah, Barcelona, I would say, are one of the three sides, and I think most people could probably guess who the other two would be would probably be able to overturn that gap. I think it was a win they needed. You know, we're going to come on to it later as well, talking about the whole issue surrounding Enrique. But for them, it's the psychological thing that they've finally beaten Celta Vigo, which has been a team which has caused them quite a few problems this season. Iago Aspas, the Liverpool reject, and you know, the form he's been in, he's been very good ever since he returned to Spain. And it's annoying sitting here looking at him, at how well he's doing. But they kept him out and they kept a clean sheet, which is needed, I think.
Is Aspas still the top scoring Spaniard in La Liga at the moment?
Yes, he is. I believe he is, yes.
That is a testament to things now. With Enrique, there's often talk when you have a situation where there's a bit of, I don't know, discontent with the manager maybe, or lack of certainty about the manager's position. And people often say when a manager comes out and says, yes, I will be leaving at the end of the season,
that kind of pressure on the team is lifted, they start to perform better.
Yeah.
Is this what's going on here?
First of all, Enrique has not been the best of lately or last season, but then coaching a team like Barcelona is like great pressure on the coach, on the individual. So, yeah, and then again, management issues. Like, Barcelona have been playing well last two seasons, to be honest, the season before that as well, when they won the treble. But again, like, I think the job is too much pressure, and then you have differences with players as well. So I think in that way, and since you're leaving, like, coming back to your question, like, if you're leaving, yes, the players, I believe, do perform much better knowing that you're leaving, and then it's your last, and then you want to do something big and leave the club. So I think in that way, the team should perform well, or at least go out with one title this year for Enrique.
I think he's been unlucky. I think the team hasn't performed well. I mean, Neymar is the obvious candidate. Lots of people are bringing their name up because his figures from his previous 2 years when he's been playing under Enrique have dropped considerably. Although on the flip side, there are of course tactical question marks, as his insistency of course playing Iniesta, because Iniesta is a beloved fan favourite at the Nou Camp, even though he's clearly now becoming a shadow of the great player he was, and his then choice to put Rakitic on the bench, who is a better player, and instead he favours Gomes in that position, who has really had a shocker of a first season at the Nou Camp. But I think it was inevitable almost that when a manager comes out and they say that they're going to retire, it does usually have, you always see a brief spike in form usually. It happens most of the time. It's something which we kind of expect now in football. If they can continue this into the big game, obviously against PSG, that will be the deciding factor. And if they can win that, then there'll be a heck of a testament for him. But I think he's always going to be unfortunate, because again, Barcelona fans are saying, to an extent, that, well, he's no Pep Guardiola, and it's a horrible comparison he's constantly throwing up against. He's done fantastically well. Yeah, he won the treble, obviously, in his first season. He then won La Liga.
And Copa del Rey as well.
Yeah, in his second. But then,
thinking about it, like, he didn't have the team Guardiola had, to be honest. Like, when you have a squad of Messi, Ibrahimovic, Ronaldinho, and even in the back, when you have, like, Wallace with the Puyol, when you have Puyol in the defence, like, you can't expect anything other than to win the Champions League and the La Liga and Copa del Rey. But having the team Enrique had, having brought up Suarez from the time he had the biting incident with Chiellini, and then taming him, probably, and then bringing in Neymar, and then all of them had issues. Like, I think Messi had his tax problems, Neymar had issues as well. Like, having a team in that situation and bringing all of them together, I think Enrique did a really great job, to be honest.
Now, I'm interested to see how he, I mean, presumably, it sounds like he's going to do what Pep did and take a sabbatical, perhaps.
Yeah, take a year off.
It'd be interesting to see what he does after Barcelona, because, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of wait. I can't quite remember where he was before.
I think he was in Roma?
No, I think he'd, it was like Villarreal or something.
Yeah, I mean, he'd had a few kind of like brief stint jobs. Yeah. He hadn't really had anything. I mean, this is, I think, his longest job he's had for a while. And apparently one of the reasons is, I think he's going to become a father in a couple of months' time. So that will be one thing which I can understand for family reasons and obviously sabbatical. But I don't know what he's going to do after this. I think he's kind of in a very, very awkward position.
He was the coach of Roma from 2011 to 2012 when he got sacked. So, he has experience in the Italian league as well.
So, he could go back, obviously, depending on how things are.
Depending on what happens with Spalletti and Allegri. It's very complicated. We'll have to do a special show just on potential destinations
for
various managers. It's
stacking up at the moment.
It's stacking up. Well, why don't we move on to the Bundesliga, where it now seems that tight race, I certainly was kind of expecting, is...
We all hoped it would at least
We hoped. I don't think Germans did. They really do not like Leipzig. It seems like that's come to a close. Since beating Arsenal, Bayern have been fairly dominant. I think what's quite interesting is, much of the problem with Pep was that they never did the Champions League, and there was also this idea that they're really good at the start of the season, they won the title by April or whatever, March, but when it gets into the later stages and the tougher games in the Champions League, they struggled, they were tired. Now we see them kind of really hitting form just as these kind of group, these knockout stages are coming in.
they're going to go through.
I think they will.
I'm more focused on the Europa League now.
But do we think this might be kind of Bayern? Yeah, they will go on to win the Champions League.
I think if one of the top clubs like Madrid or something doesn't come up in the semi-finals for them, like thinking about it, like since they've been winning the league by March, April, I think few seasons before they're becoming too, they were too complacent about the fact that they won it, now they can just rest around, not train. But I think that's what happened all the while. But now since they're going in a right level, I think with Carlo Ancelotti's team, like I don't think he gives them proper, like they don't give him rest, like he trains the team like as he trains in the beginning of the season. So I think in that way Bayern are really, really heavy favourites to win the Champions League this year.
Yeah, they're a team that this is the problem. I mean, I thought when they won the treble, obviously, in that season, that was going to be a team that was going to go on and dominate European football for ages. And then they seem to almost... They evolved oddly under Pep, I thought. They focus a lot more on obviously being Pep Guardiola, possession and wide play, instead of just the tremendous attack that they'd been using all through.
Yeah, but when you have Robben and Ribéry and all these guys, you just can't play passing football. You have to play at Real Madrid football.
And they've gone back to that now. When you look at it with Costa and Robben coming back into form, I mean, since we last did one, they've had two big wins. Cologne, obviously. Yeah. Cologne they beat 3-0, and then of course when they Hamburg got hammered. They have a horrible record at the Allianz Arena.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but it's in horrible double digits in like the last three games or something.
It was an 8 goals this time. I think the one before was like 6-0 or something. They can't seem to get a break when they go there. But that's in a way what we expect with Carlo Ancelotti. It's a high energy, high attacking side that can run a game very well from the centre of the midfield. Of course, he is a specialist when it comes to winning the Champions League, and that, in my opinion, was why they brought him in over after Pep. I mean, he's one of the best managers in the world, so they had to find someone that was going to fill in after Pep, and they appointed a man that has a proven record in the most elite competition that there is, in club football anyway.
Sure. Well, Dortmund had a very good result as well, obviously we had Holger Schmidt being sacked from Leverkusen. This was their worst season in 14 years. Aubameyang scored a couple to move to the top of the scoring charts in Bundesliga. That's 21 goals in 21 appearances. But it wasn't all good for Aubameyang. Did we hear about the bit of trouble he's gotten into recently?
I heard only of it. I only heard a brief bit of it. I think you might need to explain fully, because I only heard a small part of it on my way here, unfortunately.
I saw the video. Well, I saw the image of him. He's been punished or fined by Dortmund because in that game he had what looked to be a kind of Pogba-esque sort of hair dye kind of thing going on with his shaved size of his head, and it looks like it might have been a Nike swoosh. Obviously, Aubameyang is a Nike sponsored player, but Dortmund are a Puma
sponsored
team
player.
Apparently, he's in a bit of trouble for that.
And he's been saying that he might have to move. He's admitted of considering his future. Another thing which actually came up to my mind when I was thinking about Aubameyang was the other trouble he's gonna face with Götze getting the muscle weakening disease. That quite proves the fact that why he's not performing as he used to. That worries me as well, because Götze is one of the best players, one of the really good players I rate.
That would explain his stagnation over the last few years.
He hasn't moved on since
the World Cup, I'd say.
Even before then he was kind of struggling. Since his move to Dortmund, and it seems to be this bizarre metabolism issue that no one can quite work out, and no one's quite sure on how long it will take.
Wishing the best of luck, though, obviously.
Of course. He is, on his day, a great player.
Oh, fantastic.
Royce has another hamstring injury.
Shock. When I saw that image, it was just inevitable.
Yeah, increasingly, whenever I hear Royce is a Sanchez replacement, I just think, he's already getting this many injuries. He doesn't need to go to Arsenal and like suffer more.
Yeah. He's just going to make mad with Arsenal.
I feel so sorry for him, because he just starts to get back into a really good vein of form, and then after another injury, which I think was to, if I'm correct, I think it was to his other hamstring.
I'm skeptical. Like, I keep thinking about if he had played for that German side during the World Cup, what would have been the score against Brazil?
A bit like Goetze, he just seems, the last few years, he's just suffered from many, many injuries and kind of constantly gets back into form, injured, gets a few games back, gets back into form, injured, never quite gets that momentum going. Again, it's just a shame, really, for them. But it looks good for Dortmund that they kind of seem to be clicking a bit more and are looking good going into those, getting those European spaces for the end of the season. Wolfsburg, still, they drew against Mainz. They have a new manager in.
It's all because of Bednar.
It's all because he
left the
club. Now,
or Draxler, I think, was the other big dressing room.
Draxler was
a
big issue.
It's all Bednar.
They've struggled, Bastos. They've struggled. They're ahead of the relegation zone just by goal difference. Mm. But they've brought in Andries Jonker, I think that's how it's said, who was the Arsenal Academy head, and he didn't do a very good job. So it's an interesting choice. But more interesting, from my point of view, is do we know whose assistant is?
Do tell.
It's Freddy Ljungberg.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
He was assisting him in the academy, and now he's gone with him. So I'm interested.
He could develop into a good coach.
There's something about him. Maybe it was those Calvin Klein ads back in the day.
Although looking at Wolfsburg at the moment, I mean, they're just above Hamburg, who again are in that playoff position, which shocking. Although, to be fair, they were bottom of the table for God knows how long this season, so it's an improvement on their part. But Wolfsburg, I mean, they've had also another thing which has been thrown in, of course, is the financial trouble, because of VW are saying that they're going to probably potentially pull out of their amount they back them.
After all this kind of trouble they've been in as well with the missions.
So it's... I think Wolfsburg, it doesn't quite stink of a club in crisis, in my opinion, but it's getting dangerously close to it. And if they're in that point where you just teach them on the relegation zone for too much longer, then they're in trouble. If they went into 16th, I would really struggle into the 16th position. I'd really struggle to see them lose that playoff game, though, because they would. I'm pretty confident they have a stronger squad than most in the German second division.
Yes, well, I mean, even so, as Hamburg have shown, you can do that quite consistently for a few years, just hovering there, a bit like Sunderland.
Yeah, Simmons in their sport then. The bottom.
Dortmund have I forgot to mention, they've got a game against Benfica. They lost the last game away 1-0, although they were fairly dominant in that game. I mean, I'd be pretty safe in backing them to still go through.
Yeah, I remember we were saying last week, I kind of think you'd expect Dortmund to win, you'd expect them to overturn the one goal, but like we said, Benfica, they love being the underdog.
Yeah, no, it's true. I do. It'll be interesting. It'll be a good game to watch. Might watch that one instead of Arsenal. Shall we move on to?
I think are we then assuming by that point that Bayern are going to beat Arsenal?
I think they probably. Actually, I think what will happen is Arsenal will win the game by just enough goals to go out on.
On the away goals or something like that.
You know, that's what it always seems to be. One goal. It'll look kind of, the aggregate score will look fairly respectable.
There'll be a brief moment of hope.
It will just kind of be meaningless in the end. That's what usually happens anyway. Serie A?
Yeah. One big game in that one for me, which caught my eye immediately when I watched it, was Roma-Napoli.
Yes, that was interesting. I think the two biggest things I thought were Mertens' celebration and Reina's save. Did you see this celebration?
It will be on FIFA. I'm sure.
He gets on all fours, as he gets to the corner flag after scoring his first goal, kind of crawls over to the corner flag like a dog, lifts up his right leg,
cocks his leg
like so, and
oh, like he's peeing.
On the flag. Almost.
Creative.
It's creative. He's apparently he was doing it in a kind of a tribute to someone, whose name I can't remember, but also his dog.
Oh, well, there we are. I mean, so, at least it's got a decent explanation for
it. Yeah, I want it to be on FIFA then.
It will be, I suspect.
No, I'm sure it will be. Yeah. It'll be interesting. That's 18 goals in his last 18.
Oh, he's on fire.
Not bad for a winger who's been playing just kind of as a striker to make ends meet, really.
Yeah.
He's in excellent form. That said, Roma, certainly towards the end, were very kind of very dangerous. They had several chances. Salah hit the post, and there was that save in the 90, like just in the added time.
This is a week after. This is a podcast after I've criticised.
After we were all talking about Reina's position.
Pepe Reina no longer being the player he was. Yeah. Well, that proved us wrong.
Would you like to talk us through it?
Would you like to be sorry about it?
Well, I would be sorry, but I mean, it was contrast to what we usually expected from. I mean, Roma are a fantastic team when they're on the break. In this game in general, Nangolan, I didn't think, had a fantastic match. He was below what is usually his very high standards. Mm. But Napoli, in contrast, well, they're a good attacking team. They got caught on the break. Roma piled forward, the shots taken. And for a minute, I thought that Reina was going to do it again, where he just sort of seemed to watch it go past him.
He was going down.
Yeah. And then he then just does, as we said annoyingly, these really good acrobatic saves that grab the headlines and make everyone suddenly think, actually, he's still a top keeper. And it was a fantastic long-reaching save. And
yeah, I mean, he was kind of dropping to his left to get the shot off. I think it's Perotti or something. Mm. And it just clips Koulibaly's heel, like, 12 yards out.
Yeah,
and he's already kind of half on the ground. And he manages to just get up, knock it onto the bar, and kind of control it with his feet and kick it out for a corner, and that's game. And very, very impressive. Probably he's trying to prove us wrong.
He must have been listening in. Well,
yeah, he's listening to your end,
Pepe. Napoli, they've got their game against Real Madrid. See, I don't think Napoli are necessarily out of it. It was a 3-1 loss away, so they do have that away goal. They're playing fairly well. Real Madrid have had, again, they had this win, but they've been a little bit stuttery of late. I mean, they're very good at home, Napoli.
Yeah, it's entirely possible, isn't it? I mean, this is one of the games where it shouldn't be as open as it potentially is, because Napoli are in a very strong run of form at the moment. Mertens obviously is the star man, but behind him, of course, he's got Insigne and Hamsik as ever, you know, being the creative talents that he needs for us. And they have also now got Milik just about coming back into form now, and interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I think even Spanish teams don't really perform the best at Italy.
No, it'll be interesting for the fans. It'll be interesting, an intimidating atmosphere.
Really,
it is. And I'm interesting you mention Hamsik, because I've been particularly impressed how he's kind of, he used to be his kind of proper number 10 and very creative, and now he's dropped back a bit in his kind of positioning. But I was just remembering when I was in Marseille and Lyon this summer, and the day after the England
Slovakia game,
we were walking down the streets of Lyon, and then someone goes, "Is that Aaron Hamsik?" And of course, you know, with his hair,
it's very,
quite hard
very
to
recognizable.
Miss. But yeah, no, it was. He was going into Mont Blanc. But there you go.
I mean, he is a very good player, and he's now the club captain as well, and he seems to be one of those players that for Napoli, because they've had an issue, I think, over the last 5 years of their big players, especially their forwards, Lovetzi, Cavani, and most recently Higuain, have all been prized away by by either bigger clubs, or in PSG's case, a club that can throw more money at them. And he's sort of had to watch this transition, and at this rate, Mertens will probably, unfortunately, be on his way if he keeps scoring the way he does.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he'll be in demand this summer, certainly. He's stuck with them. Other interesting game probably was the Palermo-Torino game. Belotti scoring the fastest Serie A hat-trick in 17 years. And now he's top scorer in Serie A.
and the and that buyout clause that's, I think it's something like 100 million or something.
100 million euros.
I think it's 100 million, and I read somewhere that there was a clause in there, something like that, but you're not allowed to go to Juventus, that they specifically put in so that he can't join the crosstown rivals. Yeah, I mean, he's been in fantastic form. Torino, they're a bit of a yo-yo team, unfortunately, because they seem to pull off one good result the next, then Belotti kind of drops off a little bit. Joe Hart is Joe Hart.
They've struggled without Glick.
Yeah, he was very important for them last season, and he's proving just how good he is at Monaco.
Yeah, I mean, as we'll see, should we talk about